This morning's reading is from Exodus, chapter 17, verses 1 to 7. If you've got a church Bible, it's on page 75. Water from the rock. The whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, travelling from place to place, as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. So they quarrelled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses replied, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test?" But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses. They said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children and livestock die of thirst?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, "What am I to do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord answered Moses, "Go out in front of the people. Take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will stand there before you by the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it for the people to drink." So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled, and because they tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" This is the word of the Lord.
This is Marilyn. You know her. I'm getting to know her. She is extraordinary. And we're going to pray for her. So, Heavenly Father, your words from this, your woman, in this, your church, would you speak powerfully through Marilyn this morning? Holy Spirit, well up within her more and more, and bless us by all that you have prepared through her. Amen. Amen. Have fun.
Thank you, Carol. Good morning, everyone. Let's get my stuff sorted. So this morning, I'm carrying on with a series of talks that we're going to be doing on what is in your hand. So this week we're going to be looking at what is in the hands of Moses. So just in case you don't know this chap, Moses, a quick background. Moses was the baby that was placed in a basket in the River Nile. He was found by Pharaoh's daughter and brought up in Pharaoh's royal household until he killed an Egyptian at the age of about 40 or so. He then goes on the run. About 40 or so years later, at the age of 80, Moses is a shepherd. And so it is around this time in Exodus 3 that Moses has a call from God to lead his chosen people out of slavery in Egypt. Moses has lots of excuses as to why he shouldn't be the man to do that. And in Exodus 4, God asks, "What is in your hands, Moses?" And the answer to that was a staff. So this morning, as we look at what is in the hands of Moses, we will see that it was simply a stick. It wasn't a magical stick or a very attractive stick, probably. It was a stick that was used for shepherding, and God used it. And God chose to use Moses, who only had a stick, and he used him powerfully. And miracles happened through the use of that stick. So when we look at what is in our hands, it may not look like it's anything worthy of being used by Jesus or being the potential for a miracle. But if we put it into the hands of Almighty God, he will use it, and he will use it for his glory. So what was this stick used for? If we read through the book of Exodus, there are lots of miracles involving Moses and his staff. Today's scripture, which was from Exodus 17, if you'd like to turn there, or you might still be there, verses 5 and 6 says, "The Lord answered Moses, 'Walk on ahead of the people. Take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will stand there before you by the rock of Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it for the people to drink.'" So these people, they were in the middle of the desert. There was no water anywhere. And they were not happy. They were complaining and they were thirsty. And so the pressure was on Moses to do something. So what does he do? He prays, which is a great start, I think. He asks for guidance. God reminds Moses to use what is in his hands, to strike the rock and water will come out of it for the people to drink. God tells Moses he will go before him. Moses obeys God and the water flows. We see a miracle happen. Moses leads those who are thirsty to water. So for us here today at Trinity, there is a whole world out there that is thirsty. And we know the rock that is Jesus, from whom the living water flows. If you could turn to John chapter 7, we will read verses 37 and 38. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." Now for Moses, the water that flowed through the wilderness to those who were thirsty. And for us, we live in a thirsty world. And people are looking for Jesus, and some of them don't even realise it. We can use what is in our hands to point them to the rock that is Jesus. When we use what we have for his glory, the living water will flow to those who are dry and weary around us. People only need a taste of it because it is irresistible. People only need a sip to be transformed. Because we know, if we are believers here and if we know Jesus, we know that being in his presence is life-changing. There is nothing like it. And as we sing that song, "One Touch from the King Changes Everything." We don't need to be special people to point the way to Jesus. We do that by offering a kind word or helping someone out or sitting and listening to someone for half an hour, undivided attention. Living the Christian life is not always easy. But if we set our hearts to serve him and we use what we have in our hands for him, then people will see a difference. The living water will flow through us to those who are around us who are dry and weary. We talked at Alpha this week about how people who aren't believers watch those who are Christians to see if their faith is real. And the world really wants to see Christians doing what they're supposed to do. The world really wants to see the love of the Father lived out on planet Earth. And how will that happen? It will happen through the church using what is in its hands for God's glory. How many people do we meet in our lives who long for the living water that comes from Jesus? How can we practically take a tired and weary hand and place it into the hands of this amazing, awesome Saviour that we know? We do that by using what we have in our hands and pointing the way. And you see that at Trinity. So many things go on that point the way to Jesus. And some people only need to be pointed a couple of times and they see who he is. And other people need to be pointed lots of times. We cannot wait for the right conditions. Moses was in the desert. He was surrounded by complaining people and he only had a stick. He had to step out in faith and trust. And it is God who provides the miracle time and time again. If you could turn to Exodus 14, we will read verses 21 and 22. So it says, "Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind, and it turned into dry land. The waters were divided and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their left and on their right." This is the parting of the Red Sea. Now Moses didn't part the Red Sea and his stick didn't part the Red Sea. It was God who parted the Red Sea. Moses only did what God asked him to do. He held his hand over the water. It was God who drove back the sea all night. We don't have to make miracles happen, but we have to do all God that asks in order that they will. We just do our bit. He does the almighty bit. What could be our reasons for not using what is in our hands? I think sometimes we feel scared that if we use what is in our hands, we don't know where it will lead. Or sometimes we can feel we don't have much to offer, and we can look at other people and think they have loads of things in their hands to offer, but I don't have very much. But Moses, he only had a stick and a dodgy past. And he wasn't a good speaker, and he certainly had not had experience of leading the children of Israel out of slavery in Egypt. He was learning on the job, like we all are. In fact, Moses had lots of excuses as to why God shouldn't use him. When God called Moses, he said, "I'm not worthy. Who am I to lead your people?" And then he said, "I don't even know your name. How can I lead your people? No one will believe you sent me. I'm not good with words." And finally, he said, "Please send someone else." But after all the excuses, Moses goes on to do what God has called him to do. And Moses, he doesn't appear to be the likely choice for ministry, does he? But thankfully, God doesn't always choose those who are bursting with confidence and have potential in the eyes of the world, because he sees potential in us all. And he will use whatever is in the hands of a humble and willing heart. So what happens if we offer what we have wholeheartedly to God? If we surrender what we have to a God who knows us and loves us and has the best plans for us, then he will absolutely use every bit of it. Because we are not offering what we have in our hands to someone who might be able to find use for it somehow. We are offering it to a God who has no limits, who has no bounds. He is the Lion of Judah. He is a God of the impossible, the God of miracles, the God who parted the sea. It is in his hands that we place our stick or whatever we have. We place it in the hands of the creator of the universe, the God who day after day turns water into wine and provides all that we need. And he is a God who is willing to use ordinary people to shine for his glory. If we offer what we have, it is the beginning of a miracle when it is put in his hands. And sometimes we may think, "I can't be used by God, it won't work. It works for other people, not me. If I pray for someone, they won't receive anything. If I speak to someone, they won't respond." Every person in the Bible who is used by God could not have done it without him. That is without exception. In Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty." It cannot be done without him. But the people in the Bible did have to step out of their comfort zones and actually use what they had, offer it to him. "What is in your hands, Moses? A staff. I will use that to lead my chosen people out of Israel. What is in your hands, Apostle Paul? A very dodgy past, and I'm a Jewish scholar. I will use that. I will use you to write a great portion of my word. What is in your hands, Peter? A fishing net. I'm a fisherman. I will use that. You will fish for men and haul people into my kingdom." So what is in your hands? Is it a hammer? Or a computer, or a creative skill, or a paintbrush, or a voice, or a garden fork, or a baking tray, or a cup of tea? The whole world can be reached over a cup of tea. Souls can be won for Jesus over a cup of tea or coffee, obviously. And there is a whole world out there to reach with this amazing news that Jesus Christ is the Lord. And every single person is reached differently, and every testimony is different, and God will use whatever is in our hands to bring people to Jesus and show the love of the Father. Every one of us is unique, and there are so many creative ways of serving Jesus, so many creative ways that God can use to bring people to the knowledge of his Son. You will have a creative skill that I don't have, and someone else will be amazing at something you're not so hot on, but we all have something to offer for the work of the Lord, and it is not the super spiritual, gifted few who are really good at it. It is for ordinary people who know Jesus, who are willing to roll up their sleeves and use whatever is in their hands to serve him for his glory, even if that thing is a stick. Together we are the body of Christ, and together it works. God does not sit there looking at you, tapping his finger and saying, "What am I going to do with this one? They have nothing." So what does that stick resemble to Moses? Moses was brought up in Pharaoh's house. So he would have been brought up like royalty. And after killing a man, he ran away and he became a shepherd. So this stick this shepherd's staff may have been a reminder to Moses of all that he had lost. A reminder that this is what you are now, Moses. You are just a shepherd, no longer in Pharaoh's household, and it is all your own fault. Sometimes what we have in our hands is a painful past, or a reminder that we've messed up, or that we haven't amounted to much. Sometimes it is a wound that we carry. If we offer it to God, he would gladly take it. Because thankfully, the God who sees all things, who knows us so well, and the one from whom nothing is hidden, thankfully, if we offer it to him, he will take our pain and our sorrow and our grief and our disappointments, and he will use it for his glory. Our past does not define us. Our mistakes do not define us. Only the God who knows us and loves us, what he says about us, defines us. And he is a God of grace. He is a God who knows that we will mess up. He knows that we have a past. And somehow, amazingly, he turns it around and uses it for his glory. Sometimes the devil may say, God can't use you. You are too messed up. Too much has happened. You've gone too far. Your attitude's been too bad. You have nothing of real value in your hands. Let someone else do it who is more gifted than you. Settle for less. Know your place. Well, I just want to say no, do not settle for less. And yes, absolutely know your place as the son or daughter of the King of Kings, our Father in heaven, the Lion of Judah. Do not be fed a lie, because God made you fearfully and wonderfully in his image to bear much fruit for his kingdom, and he will take ordinary people with ordinary things in their hands. And sometimes he will even use the very wounds that you have for your ministry for him, unbelievably. If Moses had not gone through the path that he had, he would not have had the shepherd's staff in his hand. And sometimes things happen that we would not choose and that we are not proud of, and somehow through that we learn, and Jesus sticks with us, and God uses all parts of the journey. And quite often it is through the difficulties and hardships that comes something that is refined by fire, and it is that that you hold in your hands. It may not look like a precious gem, it may look like a stick, but in the hands of a Saviour who loves you and knows you and has walked through this journey with you, that stick is precious and it's gold-plated. We may not be asked to use what is in our hands to part the sea or to get water from a rock. It may be to dig someone's garden or to pray for someone. But if that small act is part of someone's journey of knowing Jesus, it is a miracle nonetheless.
So we're going to, as Terry and the worship team return to lead us, we're going to pray together. Just making sure, yes, that's lovely. Father, we thank you for that truth, that nothing is ever wasted in your economy. You are the ultimate recycler and repurposer. And you take our scars and you take our wounds and you take our brokenness and you build the most beautiful people for your glory. So what's in our hands? What are you placing into our hands right now? What have you already placed in our hands for this place? For this church, for this part of your kingdom, for your glory. Would you reveal more of that to us, Lord?